All right, good afternoon, everyone. Feel free to fill in towards the front if you want. We've got a lot of empty seats up here. So just a couple reminders before we get going. Dry Society doesn't want anybody recording videos or photos besides credentialed media. So just ask you to, remind you that. I'm Ryan Stewart. I'm going to be moderating this session, Applying Soil Physics to Soil Health. This is my co-convener and co-moderator, Ziru Liu. So thank you all for coming here today. We've got five speakers that are going to be talking to us. And then immediately following this session is going to be the Soil Physics and Hydrology Rapid Fire Student Oral Presentation. So I encourage you all to stay for that. I think they're going to be really, really fun. So let's see. For speakers, I'll be up here. I'll give you a sign when there's 2 minutes left, just to let you know. Another sign if there's 1 minute left. Hopefully that will leave us time for a question or two. And I think that's all we got. So our first speaker is Henry Lin from Penn State University.
Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I'd like to say thanks for the conveners to put this section together. I think with all the enthusiasm now up there in the topic of soil health. Soil physicists and hydrologists should be part of that. I think we have a lot to contribute to that kind of understanding of soil health. So I was actually invited to contribute to a book on this subject. That's what I put this abstract in, and just trying to share some thoughts along this line. Hopefully, it will make some sense in terms of what soil physicists, hydrologists can contribute to soil health issue. So I modified the title of this is more accurate in terms of the book chapter title we used, The Role of Soil Hydrology in Soil Health. Or the subtitle could be something like Soil Hydrology and Analysis of Soil Health. So I'm going to basically share a little bit of thought on the kind of aggregate pattern scale, and then a little bit on the landscape scale, the linkage between soil health and soil hydrology. Obviously, applications are wide-ranging. So I would not talk too much about that, but just point that out in terms of the usefulness of this topic. So, we know that with a healthy plant community like this nice tree, really we need to have a healthy soil to support that. So, as we look at soil as a system, really it is alive. It's a living system. We often call it a living thing of the earth. And from the energy mass exchange between the soil or the land surface with atmosphere, either the gaseous phase or liquid phase, it represents a lot in terms of the intake and digestion, respiration, water and chemicals dissolved in water. All that is very much like a living organism. And this also fits very really well in terms of the thermodynamic understanding of open system being constantly renew itself. So in that aspect, it is a living entity. And therefore, there's the issue of health, anything related to a living entity. So, of course, we are talking about Dr. Sawyer instead of the real physician. But think about how physicians take care of patients. Yeah, all the medical students, they go through medical schools. They had to go through a very fundamental training. One of that is understanding the structure or the system of any human body. So, and similarly, in order to understand the soil health, we also need to understand the system of soil itself in terms of its structure, in terms of its organization, and the flow of water. And of course, everything dissolved in the water, air, solutes, and bad stuff like contaminants. So that is the analogy I'm using to try to link soil hydrology to soil health. Yeah. And so two things I'm going to emphasize here in this short presentation is the importance of the organization of the soil system, just like human body. Yeah, medical school students all had to learn very well the fine details of human body structure, the skeleton, body shape, and all that. But then that dictates in terms of the functions of the system. In this case, I'm emphasizing the flow of water and stuff carried by water, just like blood, in terms of human health. So we can use blood pressure kind of way of representing the importance of soil water pressure or soil water status in terms of soil health. And so to begin with, we need to look at the entity itself in terms of structure. This is just a quick illustration of an intact soil column that shows complex pole network. There are a lot of stuff there. I won't have time to go into the details, but like earthworm channels and loop channels, intrepid air bubbles, stuff like that. And that dictates how the water and dissolved solutes will go through this particular soil column with that intact structure. For example, yeah, you immediately see, if I can go back to this image, that this fast moving through the loop channel, actually it's earthworm channel, it's a preferential flow dictated by the organization of the particular soil column, one of the most productive agricultural soils in Pennsylvania. So that's just one quick illustration of the architecture and the flow in terms of everything else going inside the system. But if you look around the globe, there are many different types of soils, many different types of landscapes, and each type of soil profiles will have its own organization or structure, and that will dictate the flow of water and everything else through and across a soil profile or a landscape. And that's basically the core of my message here, where you really have to look into the water interaction with the soil, and that dictates the health of any living organism or living system. So back to the fundamental understanding of organization of a system like soil. We all familiar with aggregation like this, and amazingly, different kinds of soil types will have different aggregates, and they are indeed control a lot of stuff going on inside a soil system. And therefore, the soil health had to consider stuff like soil aggregates, and indeed, those aggregates are considered as a golden aggregates, and you can see the value of that from that terminology. So, not just aggregates of different sizes, different shapes, and different stabilities, but also related to that are a bunch of soil health indicators related to soil structure, bulk density, organic matter content, even microbial stuff. So they all going to influence the processes and properties of hydrological aspect of soil system as listed in the first column. I won't have time to go into details, but just quick reminder of the linkages. And then getting back to the diversity of types of soils, 12 soil orders in soil taxonomy. And interestingly, one of the key higher level criteria that pathologists use to classify different soils is the soil moisture regime. So you can look at these things two ways. One is that regardless of soil order, they all will experience different kind of landscape or climatic zones, therefore different soil moisture regimes. And flick over that perception is that, all right, soil moisture is actually one of the key controls of different soil functions, or translating that further to soil health, wherever that may be in terms of the landscape distribution or the climatic location of different soil orders. So I particularly in this book chapter emphasize the two aspects that should be all the soil physicists and hydrologist community should be contributing to the discussion or further investigation of soil health related issues. One is the landscape setting, the other is the system of soils. not just particular aggregate or particular layer, but rather as a solar system. So solar hydrogen, as we all know, in this room, no point for me to say much, but just a reminder that it's going to be dictated by three categories of factors in terms of the hydrological conditions: environmental, external factors, and internal soil structure and soil properties, and then soil's location in a particular landscape or watershed. And then in terms of the interest in soil health for human use, we're talking about really the sustainable management of soils. They should consider soils, as I said, as a system. Treating soil profile as a whole, not just your particular portions, and take into account when we look into the soil hydrological status, the whole geology and the whole soil moisture storage, so that we can understand the whole system health. So here's another way of expressing that using a diagram. So here's kind of more or less integrated soil health. This is a book chapter we just coming out on the subject. So we have inherent soil properties and then dynamic soil properties that are subject to a lot of human land use and management alternations. And then soil hydrological functions are going to be linked to these very closely, but also influencing the functions of physical, other physical and chemical and biological properties of the soil system. And so we therefore can link different functions or hydrological functions to different hydrological processes, and then further link to how we should manage a particular soil or particular landscape. And from there, we can see the influence of land use, land management, and different hydrological processes on the health of the soil. As a system. So I'm going to walk through a few slides like these wordy ones. Bear with me. I know it's wordy, but it's worth of reading that. And so I decided to still use, and after this, I'm done. So I think there are some fundamental principles worth of emphasizing here for caring about soils in terms of soil health. And that linked to the integrated understanding of soil health as a whole. So the first one is something like this. So we humans really do not grow plants. Sounds like weird, but really that's true. Soils grow plants, right? And therefore, we humans need to take care of and nurture soil health or soils as a system. It is soils, as we know, actually grow plants, harbor roots and microbes, and supply nutrients, water, air, mechanical support needed for life to thrive in a below ground and above ground world. And therefore, we need to take good care of soils and value soil protection. Our reliance on chemical inputs for to compensate for soil, traditional thinking of soil health or soil quality more linked to the nutrient or chemical composition of the soil, but over reliance on chemical inputs to compensate for soil quality or soil health would lead to deterioration of the soil health, and this would lead to the burning of soils by heavy dose of chemicals, as we know, and killing of beneficial soil microbes and other living organisms, and destroy soil structure, increasing soil toxicity and salinity over time. And the toxins we put in the soils ultimately will come back to hurt plant health and human health through the food consumption. The second one also worth of highlighting or reminding ourselves in terms of linkage between soil health and soil physical and other aspects soil processes is this. We need to promote better living through biology rather than pure chemistry, like fertilizer applications, or pure physics, like irrigation management, simply because functioning soil ecosystems are role models for sustainable land use, where short and long-term interests and abiotic aspects must be balanced. Rhizosphere and below-ground livestock must be managed according to biology rather than nutrient levels in soils alone and all soil moisture status alone. So we all need to learn biology, and in other words, in order to be part of the soil health discussions. So therefore, instead of solely focusing on implementing new technologies such as tillage machines, irrigation methods, agrochemical applications, a more holistic strategy is needed to achieve soil health and long-term soil sustainability. The quality of food is just as important as quantity of food, and poorly balanced nutrition and harmful ingredients in food often will come back to hurt human health because they all originate from soil. And then thirdly, we need to nurture soil's internal quality to maintain soil health and balance soil use for external productivity. Well, since I'm running out of time a little bit, I will not read this slide, but hopefully you get the point. And the lastly is the adopting the mosaic and more organic approach to farming and gardening instead of monoculture and mechanical approach. So, and to wrap up, I have this sketch of the interlinked components of soil health and soil hydraulic being part of that, and then other related concepts. So with that, I would again remind systems approach to link soil health with soil hydrology. So those are the few thoughts I have in this short presentation. Thank you for your attention.
We have time for one question.
Yes. That's a very good question. I don't think we have been thinking too much along the line of soil modeling for soil health, like most of us would in the traditional way of doing research is thinking about modeling. So we are talking in the past, at least, mostly about how water flows through the soils and how solutes would be moving along the water through the soil profile. Not talking for soil health, but rather just water, well, mass energy exchange between the soil and external source. So I think we really should be, if soil health is the goal for modeling, then I think we need to be thinking about a lot of internal organization of the soil. So soil structure has not been very well captured in a lot of our modeling efforts. And not just that, but also the distribution of water, nutrients, and toxins within an aggregate, within different soil horizons, within different positions of the landscapes. These all need to be better captured in terms of position of it, rather than just general. Yeah, like breakthrough, we care about what's coming out. We don't care about how the flow pattern will be like. And that actually very important in terms of flow pathways, flow pattern. Has to be captured in the modeling as well. So those are the things that we should be thinking along. Thanks for your good
question.
You.